Before we start today's satsang, I welcome all of you again for this wonderful satsang. For the pleasure that you all give me every 15 days to be in your presence, everybody of you, thank you for that. It means a lot to me. It makes me carry for the next 15 days, actually, and honestly, it's true. Everybody of you, thank you for that. And today I want to make one announcement, which is like we are doing Sunday satsangs. We are going to change that into Saturdays now. The reason is because Sunday becomes a little difficult for me. Saturday is much more easier because my son, he is looked after on Saturdays. So Sundays I have to look after him almost the whole day with my wife, of course. But we don't have a help on Sundays. So I really want everybody of you all to, you know, adjust somehow. The timing is the same. It is going to be same timing, 10 p.m. India time, which is your LA time, or I don't know what all, San Francisco, whichever place you are all in, England or... But the timing is just the same. Just the day is one day before. That's all. So instead of Sundays, we'll be having it now it on Saturdays. I would really like all of you all to come and not miss it, because I know you all can always see it next day or in a few hours because of Joe's expertise. She can put it within 4 hours or 3 hours. But it is not the same without you all. So please come as much as you can participate. I cannot say that you all have to come, but please try and come on Saturdays instead of Sundays, now that we're changing the time day into that. It will be much easier for me, and my son will come back by around 10:15, so you know he'll be okay. He'll be at my parents' place, and they have help there also, so that is why we are changing the day. So from beginning, next satsang, that is, will be on Saturday. So Andrea will be sending you all an email to that effect. I believe the next Saturday is, today's 14th, so it should be, what day is that? Okay, 27th of June would be the next, not 28th. So that's the announcement that I really wanted to give. And, you know, please make your schedule around it, or howsoever you could do. You know, it's too much to ask from you also. I want to apologize first about it, but I know you'll understand, all of you. Okay. Now coming to what we are going to speak about. You know, if one thing that goes along, which is very constant and consistent with ourself, what is the one thing that is very consistent and constant? You all say beingness, beingness. Of course, we all know that is constant, consistent, I amness. But what is along with that, what is the other thing that is very consistent? Which I came to know within these 15, 20 days, a lot more. Problems. Problems. Problems are the things that are always very consistent. This problem, that problem, you know, they're always constant companions with our beingness, with our I amness, with our sense of existence. If you are existing, you can be assured that there is going to be a problem. Very simple. Sometime in life, problems are much more. Sometimes they are less. But they are always there. Just around the corner. Maybe some people have problem at home. Some people with the office. Some people with their relationships. Some people with money, finances. So many problems are there. Sometimes they're changing. Some problems are lingering for a long time. They don't seem to change. And some problems are these, which one goes, another one comes, but they're always there. Problems. No. And long time back when I started my satsang, in, you know, that time I wrote one quote which I always say to people, and I did not elaborate on that, but today I want to talk about that a bit, which was, don't identify with the problem. Know that the problem is the identification. Yeah? Do not identify with the problem. Know that the problem is the identification. What is the root cause of this identification? Why? We can have problems, but main problem is not the problem. Main problem is we are identified with something. We are attached to something. How does it start? We have to go a little bit more to the origin of this to understand why we feel so much exhausted, or, you know, we feel so much overwhelmed by the problems. We have to go a little bit more deeper to understand. Anything that you are very much identified with, that would become a cause of your problem. Think. Just take some time to understand. If it is your job, your work, your children, your partner, your health, something that is you are very much identified with, perpetually thinking about it, that creates a lot of problem. Around it, the problem will be probably manifesting around it. So along with the problems, associated with the problems, there are this identification with that, with anything. They move together. So now let us find out where it starts and how it starts. How does this identification begins? The identification begins because the I-ness cannot be alone. The sense of existence needs to latch on to something or the other. It needs to hold on to something or the other. It cannot be kept alone. And that is what Sri Ramana said in the, you know, where he said about that the I, the moment you are sleeping, you are absolutely fine. You are in bliss. The moment you come out of your sleep, the I shoots up into the brain. From there, what is it that it first latches on? On waking up, what is the first thing that it latches on? It latches on to your brain. Why? Because there are those nerves there, nadis. And from those nadis, through the act of spreading, it spreads all over your body, like transmission lines. All these nadis are connected with one another. The whole body is connected with each other through these nadis, through these nerves. So the eye said, the eye has a habit of latching onto something or the other. First thing it does is latches onto the nadis, the nerves. And the nerves spread all over the body, giving us the illusion that we are this body. First thing. Because the eye has spread, the eye has latched onto something, an idea, and caught hold of this. And after that, it goes into the senses organs, sensory organs, from where it establishes relationships with all the other objects in the world. And by identifying with the sense organs, It then established relationship with the objects, and there it creates another problem. So the first problem was a body. Then it is a mind, the sense organs which perceives, cognizes all the relationships that we have. So you see, the habit of the eye to latch onto something is the beginning of identification. And so the beginning of problem. Because as I said, problem cannot exist without identification. And identification cannot exist if the eye does not move. Let's go reverse. But the eye has to move. Even without your control, the eye will perpetually move. So what do we do then? What do the saints, jnanis say? What choice do we have? Do we have a choice? Because for what I feel, the eye is already moving into the brain. How can we, what do we do? How do we arrest the movement of the eye? Because if we can arrest the movement of the eye, I can arrest identification, stop the identification, and that means I can stop problems. Understand? We are coming to that. So whole thing is based upon this movement of the eye. Logically, it does not I don't understand how it is possible. Is it possible that I can stop the eye from moving from my heart at the time of sleep, where it is very much in kept in a state of bliss? Can I stop it from moving into the brain? The jnanis have propounded and asserted that yes, we can do that. We have a choice. That's the point. That is the point of inquiry. We can arrest its movement. By reversing the eye back into the self, by continuously trying to move back into the self, by making it move in the reverse, we can do that. Bringing the eye again and again continuously into the self, we can stop it from moving. But why does it move into the organs? Why does it move into the brain? Why does it move? Why? And why doesn't it go into the self back? Why is the natural movement of the eye to go into the brain and then into the senses, into the nadis? Why is it like that? Because we have not exercised the opposite. That's the reason. And because the eye is not interested to go there, it does not know the taste of the self. Because if it tastes it, it will not move there. It will move, but it won't stay there into the senses for long. It won't stay into the body for long. It won't stay in the mind for long. It will keep coming back, searching for the source, the origin from where it arises. But we have to make it interesting for the eye to go into the source again and again. There is an ocean of joy and bliss within us, into the self. Tremendous bliss, tremendous joy, which we all have tasted to some extent. But it is not continuously there because there is distraction. We are stimulated, perpetually distracted into other things all the time. We make stories, masters in that. We are not making it. We are allowing the mind to make it. We are allowing it. we have to make somehow understand that the I needs to go back into the source, needs to stay into the source. We have to make it interesting for the I to be there, so that even if it plays a bit into the senses, even if it goes into the mind, even if it goes into the body for some time, it immediately retracts back, recoils back into the self, into the real place that it where it belongs to. My home, your home, our home. That's where it belongs. And then the question about identification, association, problems will not arise, because everything will be arrested in the source itself. It finds everything that you need in the source, in the self. But we must persist continuously to that. Don't give up. And one of the reasons, like I said, is the eye is very flickering, very flickering. It wants to move. Even to the self, it considers itself to be a movement rather than where it needs to stay. You see? You must have seen, experienced yourself, that sometimes the eye wants to go and experiment with one thing, then it wants to experiment with the other, then it wants to go into something else, then it wants to go into something else. Then if you say this technique is there, it wants to go into a technique, then you say this thing. You see the my eye, see how flickering. What is the nature of this eye? It wants to always make some movement or the other. It's interested in that because it stimulates it. And when it loses interest in self, then it goes back into object. Then it will lose object. It will lose interest into the object. It will go back into the self. That back and forth will continue for a long period of time. And the reason why I say this is because we are not totally aware of what is happening around us. We lack awareness. The totality of our awareness we are lacking. That's why I say first, please equip yourself with complete awareness of what is happening. Minutely observe yourself. Every moment. Do not think, oh, ISIP I will do for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, I'm done. Sitting meditation is over. Or maybe twice a day and I'm done, I'm happy. I will be happy because you've done ISIP. But for two times a day, three times a day, whatever. But you have to, more important than that, you have to take it, you have to observe yourself, every minutely observe yourself, what is happening in the moment. Every time. Moment to moment, observe. Now I give you a simple example. There are 24 hours in a day. Let's say 8 hours. I have taken higher figure. Maybe some people sleep less. But maybe 8 hours we can say we are sleeping. For the sake of convenience. Some people will say 6 hours. Some people say 7 hours. Some people say 5 hours. From 5 to 8 hours. Let's say 8 hours. Balance 16 hours are left. In that 16 hours, have you noticed that only half the time your eyes are open and only and the rest half the time your eyes are closed? You are blinking. Half the time you are blinking. Half the time your eyes are open. So basically, out of 16 hours, 8 hours you are sleeping. 8 hours you are blinking. And only 8 hours is your waking state. So what you consider to be a life is just 8 hours of your existence. The rest is darkness. The rest is void, blankness, zeroness. Think about it. And you have considered the problem to be based upon the 8 hours. And the last 16 hours in which 8 hours you are sleeping, 8 hours you are blinking, they are zero for you. You don't even realize what is happening. But you have taken your problem to be associated with the 8 hours of your eyes opening. You have given meaning to the continuity in that 8 hours. What about the other 16 hours? That's why I'm saying you are not opened enough. You are not been aware enough. Because if you are more aware of your blinking state, I'm saying, even aware of the fact that you are blinking, and then you will understand that out of 24 hours, 16 hours of the time, everybody of you are without any problem. It is only the 8 hours that are creating problem for you. But we do not look at the totality. We look at what the eye is interested in. The eye is interested in brightness, what is happening around us, what stimulates me. It is not interested in my blinking state. Oh, it is zero state. It is nothing. Or in my sleep state, I am nothing. I am nobody. I don't know what is happening there with me. I am gone into oblivion. I am not investigating during those 16 hours. I have shrugged this aside. And only the 8 hours I have made it to be my life. Now, even if you know this fact, that for all of us, out of 24 hours, 16 hours are actually no problem. That much, how much percentage? 65%? Maybe 65% of your life, or maybe 70% of your life, is not a problem. Only 30% of your life is a problem. And out of that 30% of the life, maybe only half of it is a problem, and half of it is enjoyment or pleasure or joy or whatever. How much does that leave you with? 15% out of the 30%. Now, don't tell me that you cannot survive 15% of a problem in your life. Think about it. Just knowing this fact will take away the whole burden that you have put on yourself, on your shoulders, of identification. Because you have identified with so much about the waking, the way eyes are opening. You know, I remember I was talking to Deborah, the same example I gave her, and she said, "This has been an eye-opener for me, Guruji." No pun intended. It's a fact. It's an eye-opener. But we are opening our eyes only 8 hours a day. 16 hours of the time, we are in the void. Why do not we befriend the void? Why do not we befriend the unknown? Why don't we befriend the blankness? Why don't we befriend what is more in terms of quantity in our life, in terms of what is much more important in our life, than we take into consideration only partial information. If we can take into the totality of everything and know that, okay, only 15 to 20% of my life is in problem, I think then we all can easily handle it without any problem. No matter what problem you are having. Just this thought, knowing this, that this is not the reality. These problems are only partially true. The rest of the time, I am in state of joy. I am in state of bliss. I am in state of happiness. Why do we allow the 8% to dominate the other 16 hours, the 8 hours to dominate the other 16 hours and to dominate the total 24 hours? Why do we let it, why do we allow it? Because of lack of awareness. What else? It is simple. That's why be aware. Be aware minutely what is happening. We don't even know we are blinking. Now today I'm making you realize you must be checking your blink. Are you blinking or not? You must have checked it by now, everybody of you. Yes, you are all blinking. But, or if you are closing your eyes. But the fact is that while you are walking also, get to the blinking state. You're in a blinking state. As you start to recognize more and more the blinking state, you will get confirmation of your real self. I'm telling you, in that moment you will get. Trust me. Such a simple thing. Such a natural meditation. This is very natural. Blinking, you're not meditating also. You're simply allowing yourself to blink. Which you're already doing. But you're just becoming aware of it. I'm saying just do it more aware, with awareness. Enjoy your blinking. When you're blinking, enjoy it. See how you feel. Don't stop it. Don't try to make it big. Don't try to make it small. Only observe it. That itself will stop your complete association with the waking state. That is your ignorant state, I would say. The open eye state which you're calling. Your eyes are open, your physical eyes are open, then your inner eyes are closed. But when you are in a, when you're closing your physical eyes and you are in the blinking state, your inner eyes open. I'm saying when you are conscious of your blink state, when you're conscious of your closed eye states, your inner eye will illuminate everything. Illuminate everything. So first you just know this knowledge. Just know that whatsoever problem you have. I had this in during different times. Whenever we are put, everybody of you are put to test. I'm not saying only I am put in test. Even now I am put into test by Kali. She will do what she has to do. No question about that. That is her job. But you know, I cannot fight her. She's powerful. What can I do? I just laugh. Why? Because whatever she's doing, I'm saying you are only, you may be most powerful. But you know, now I got the key to her. And the key is that I am the Lord of 16 hours of my life. Her dominance is only in the 8 hours of life. See? So, she's powerless for the 16 hours. I am more powerful. We are all powerful for the next 16 hours of our life. Let's make it like that. Let's resolve like that, that we will always pay more attention to what belongs truly to us and not get shaken by something that's partially in the waking state, an ignorant state, conscious state of what we call. Let's not get. No matter how much tough it is going to be, we have to go through. There is also an important lesson for everybody of us. We have to go through all that. But just remind yourself when this happens, remind yourself that 16 hours we are in ourself, in our joy. That we are. So what do we do? How do we do it? simple self-inquiry methods are given to us. Repeatedly, I have emphasized what to do on this. Now you know the blinking state also. Remember, recognize whenever you are walking or whenever you can be aware of it, just know that you're blinking. And when you remember you're blinking, your eyes will automatically close and you will go into inner state. And your 8 hours of ignorant state will also get transformed into this inner void state. That's how it will become. You will see. If you remind yourself about the blinking, you will go into meditation automatically. See yourself. Your eyes will not open up. Just remind yourself. You don't have to do any specific meditations today. I am telling you like that. Of course, another satsang, I'll tell you something else. But today I'm talking about natural meditation. Natural. Just reminding yourself. Consciously blinking yourself, and then when you blink, understand the blink and then go inside and you will connect again to yourself. You will not be able to open your eyes for long. But don't do it while you're driving the car or going to supermarket, all that. No. That has to be done when you are really in a space where you can practice this. So how do I do that about in my waking state? The whole thing about inquiry is to go into the self, into our, and to know the totality of what is happening. While we are in our waking state, we ask this perpetual question, to whom is this happening? And then you come to that place, that I-ness, that self, me, I. You find that center of I which resonates deeply with you, wherever it is. And then you sink into it. These are the two steps that I've already said, always. One, to ask this question, to whom? And second, to sink into that center of being. The I-ness, to just sink and to be with it. And third, which I am adding today, a very important one, do not have any opinion, judgment about that center. Please. Whether it is in the third eye, in the heart, right side, left side, upside, downside, how does it feel? Does it feel like dead? Does it feel like joy? Does it feel like whatever it feels, that is your center. Respect it. Love it. Come directly to it. This is the self-inquiry way, direct method. Simple. To whom? Find the trace, the eye. Feel it. Sink into it. Do not judge about it. Do not think about it. Do not analyze about it. Keep coming back to that center. Keep coming back to the center. Keep coming back to the center. It is in your waking state. Now, we will do a meditation. I want you all to start with Ujjayi. Then, go to third eye. And thirdly, do your heart freeze. Seven Ujjayis, 12 Ujjayis. 12 Ujjayis, the first thing. As you do 12 Ujjayis, stop for some time. Ask, to whom? Find a watcher. Sink into that watcher. So let's do the Ujjayi first. 12 Ujjayis. The next would be to go to third eye, and third would be to go and do the heart freeze. And each of these three steps, after we have finished each of these three steps, we will go and sink into the watcher, the one who experienced all these three things. The one who experienced the Ujjayi, The one who experienced the third eye and the one who experienced the heart freeze. All three of it. So take your time. Be in silence. Take your pace. Pace yourself. Let's start. Try to intuit the position of the watcher in all these three places. Are they the same or are they different? The watcher lies somewhere in the background. The watcher of the Ujjayi. The watcher of the third eye, the watcher of the heart freeze. Who is this watcher? Try to feel it. These three practices are initiating energy, creating energy within your body. But who is the watcher of these energies? Trace that watcher. If you have traced that watcher, just be with that watcher and stop the practice. Keep holding that sense of watcher, the experiencer. Don't go any more further backwards to it. There is nothing at the background of the watcher. You are arriving at the self itself. Just hold your attention to that center, which was at the origin of all these three practices. The source of the energy that arose from these three practices. Cheerfully and blissfully merge with that center. consistently hold attention at that position of the self. Keep holding that center. And soon you will find that that center too is dissolving, disintegrating. Melting, evaporating, disappearing. It may not happen now at this moment, or it can begin to happen, but as you keep holding to that center, which is at the prior of everything, the very substratum, even the substratum will begin to dissolve and disintegrate. It will become vapor. Much like how water evaporates at 100 degrees centigrade. Your watcher, yourself, the substratum, the source, all of that will begin to dissolve. There is nothing further to move. Just rather only be. Just watching and sinking into that center and allowing that center to dissolve with time. Various experiences and phenomena may begin to happen in the foreground. Ignore them and keep holding that sense of background I-ness, the source, consistently. with a few days of good practice, I assure you, not only will you be gone, but your source or self itself will also go. It will dissolve, disintegrate. Keep holding that center, and you will find that it's gone too. Many things may happen in the foreground. Allow them to be just as they are. Don't try to be disturbed by them. You just fall into that very center and pay persistent attention, absorption to that center, the self, which is becoming the non-self. The key to know that what is your real center of self is to know the bliss, the joy, the stillness, the happiness that you can get from within. So it is likely that one pseudo center may push you into the real center of joy. Allow the centers to change, but hold on to that center which gives you immense joy, immense happiness, stillness, feeling of fulfillment. And watch it disappear. Watch it dissolve as you sink more and more into it. I leave you with love and joy, and I see you next satsang.